The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So we're joined by our 5 at 5 presenter and 6 at 6 presenter, Ben Finnegan, and by Sarah McGuinness, assistant news editor at the Business Post, to go through the week trending. And as we're going into a bank holiday weekend, I suppose we can indulge ourselves a little bit by what's going on in the British royal family. Because do we really know what's going on in the British royal family? There are so many stories, Ben. If you were to be the type of person who would disappear down a rabbit hole chasing theories, you could be having great fun, couldn't you, Ben?
You could. One could do that. And I haven't certainly spent the majority of the last week scrolling on Twitter.
This is not the majority, but a good chunk of it.
A good chunk of it. This has been a real win for Twitter, to be honest. This is the first time in, I'd say, a year and a half. That it's relevant. And when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do is check Twitter to see what nonsense is being put out about where Kate Middleton could be. And the reason why I say nonsense is just because some of the wild theories that have come out. Like, she went in January for abdominal surgery. She hasn't been seen since. People are speculating that there's plastic surgery, extramarital affairs going on, BBLs, the Spanish media claim that she's in a medically induced coma. Like, it's wild stuff and nobody knows what's happening. Certainly, she hasn't been definitively seen in public since Christmas. As I'd reported on the 5 at 5, that photo of William and Kate earlier this week, somebody on Twitter said there was clearer photos of Bigfoot.
Okay, you have a see, Sarah, Ben says hasn't been seen publicly, but we had the photograph with her and her three children. And then, okay, there was an admission that it had been digitally altered, but that's an admission of digitally altering. It was still saying it's an up-to-date photograph. And there wasn't there a picture of her in a car with William, although it
her face that quarter profile, so not the most descript photo, I suppose. And like, there's just so many theories, as Ben said. I saw another one that kind of people are really, really getting into the weeds of this. But it was an event where Kate and the kids were all there and they're wearing the exact same outfit, allegedly, that they're wearing in the photograph that was posted on Mother's Day. So people are saying this is an old photograph. I don't really know, because the wedding ring not being in it, there's so many layers to it. But what I think is like just as interesting as all the various theories about what is actually going on is all the kind of psychological theories as to why this has kind of hooked so many people. I was reading this really great article in the New Yorker about the Streisand effect. And basically it's about Barbara Streisand's house was included in this raft of 12,000 images of the Malibu coastline and was posted to a website. And only 6 people had viewed the photo before Barbara Streisand tried to sue this couple who were documenting it for this really inconsequential website, her photo being on it, and then all of a sudden 500,000 people came to look at it. It's kind of this thing of like, this is possibly the most relevant Kate Middleton has been in her whole tenure as a royal, and it's because nobody really knows what's going on with her.
And within a couple of years, like, it is going to be within a couple of years, whether you, like, Charles lives to be the same age as his mother, that's within 2 decades, she will be the Queen of Britain and the UK.
If she's still married to William.
Yeah, sure. And the plan is for her to be the Queen of Britain. And it's this secrecy, like, this is never going to leave her now. There's an entire generation of people, even if she does become Queen of that country, they will always remember that time when she went missing, and no matter what excuse...
But hold on, isn't she entitled to time off if she had surgery? And let's just take this as if we believe what we've been told. And if she said that I need time off until after Easter to recover from surgery, isn't she entitled to that time off without being bullied by the media into providing proof that she's still alive?
I don't think she's been bullied by the media at all. I think the media has been very fair to her. It's social media which is coming out and saying, hang on, this does not add up. And none of it does add up. And it does open that, and you were kind of alluding to that question of the royals, do they have a right to private life? And that's something for the British people and British media to answer. Like,
they're paid enormous sums out of the public purse almost to be a sort of a real life Kardashians for them.
There's a really great quote from an essay, and it's kind of like, the royal being doesn't exist unless it's seen. Like, literally, unless they're right there in front of the British public, it's kind of like, we don't believe you. We don't believe you. Where are they? I don't know. Like, it's just, it's absolutely wild. It's this kind of form of like, mega celebrity. Like, even there isn't this much onus on the Kardashians. It's so wild.
As listener says, please move on and talk about something interesting. You see, the issue is, I can understand where that listener's coming from a point, but this is the weak trend. This is the thing that globally is getting the most attention.
And also, whether you like it or not, within the next 20 years, all going to plan right now, this, as things stand, this woman will be the queen of six counties on this island. So it's relevant to this place, whether you like it or not.
Oh, wow, Ben.
Okay, tell us about the photograph. Something else, though. One of these conspiracy theories, Sarah, was that her face had been lifted from Vogue magazine previously and superimposed on this. Now, you could say, of course she looks the same. It's her face. Why wouldn't it look? But was it actually exactly the same on this photograph of the three children as it had been in Vogue magazine?
I don't know. She looks the same, this kind of like eerily perfect AI being the whole time. I don't really know. I couldn't notice it. I was listening to this podcast episode on it and people were fully dissecting her appearance. Like, they were saying her skin tone is much darker than it usually is and all this various, for lack of better word, crap. Maybe I'm a dope, but the first time I saw it, I kind of thought, oh, Kate Middleton's alive. This is great. I didn't notice anything too jarring about it. But I think that's kind of what makes it like all the more a bit eerie, because the royals previously have there for someone who, like, for a group who are so kind of anti, like, other people touching their photos. Like, this journalist was sharing an anecdote about how they were doing the layout for a paper and they wanted to get, it was William and the kids, and they wanted to get just William with the youngest one, Louis, on his shoulders for the front page and then include the main picture of the whole family on the inside page. And they got onto the royals and they said, no, you absolutely cannot touch that photo. You cannot touch that photo. Like, that's like doctoring it. And yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of this really weird, like, paradox. And then I think whatever about the photo, her coming out of it and calling herself an amateur photographer. Yeah.
Using a 7,000 euro camera. Like, that's not amateur photography. And I don't believe either that she actually did edit that photo.
Okay, will you indulge me in a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
Okay. I suspect that there is what they call in UK legal circles a super injunction at play here. That the British media is onto something. And that the British royal family managed to get a super injunction, the nature of which means, unlike a normal injunction where you go to the court and certain details come out as to why the press cannot actually report on it, a super injunction means you can't even report on the fact that the injunction has been taken out. And I suspect that the British broadcasters and newspapers may be working under a super injunction, which is why they've got so worked up by this issue of the photograph and are engaged in speculation because they can't report on what they really suspect is going on.
Well, you know, royal correspondents earlier this week, and I heard one on Irish radio this week, I think it was Monday morning after AP sent out that kill notice for that picture because it was terribly digitally altered. They put out that theory that the reason why it may have been digitally altered is because there was three young children in the photo and it's difficult to get the three children looking at the camera at the same time and smiling.
Now, they're not dogs or cats. That's
exactly my point. They're the most photogenically trained children.
They're more media trained than us.
Exactly. I think that's an insult to the three children. The youngest is seven, I think, that they don't know to look at a camera, which allegedly their father was holding and didn't know to smile. Come on now.
Okay, let's talk about something else. And no.
Let's keep going with this.
No, let's talk about the Irish royal, Louis Walsh, and his performance in Celebrity Big Brother. What has he been getting up to, Sarah? I haven't seen a minute of Celebrity Big Brother, I have to admit. But what has Louis Walsh been
doing? I haven't watched this season. After the Angela Bowie, David's Dead fiasco, I was like, TV cannot get any better than this. I'm bowing out. But anyway, a lot of gossiping is what Louis Walsh has been getting up to with his buddy, Sharon Osbourne. But he really put his foot in it this week and upset another duo of Irish television royalty, Jedward. He said that Jedward were vile and basically he couldn't work with them. And
had he fallen out with them? Because didn't he work with them after they were contestants on The X Factor when he was a judge?
So basically they clapped back in a very iconic video in Gemma Collins' bathroom. Hot tub. Yeah. Excuse me, hot tub.
Well, actually, we have the audio of that. So let's hear the Grimes brothers, Jedward, John and Edward, with their friend Gemma Collins, all in a hot tub.
Guys, honestly, what a whirlwind of a night. Such a shocker what just happened.
You never know what's going to happen. We were literally sitting down to have a dinner with Gemma Cook.
Hot tub for the boys.
We were in a good headspace. Everything was calm. We said, what's on television? We turn it on. We have somebody that was being nasty, talking shit. And
they're
in
not
life,
loyal, was they wouldn't be in my hot tub.
Like, you think about this. In life, you've got to stand up for yourself. When someone tries to throw you under the bus and define you as something you're not, you know what you're about, what your intentions are. And I feel, you know, we've got to keep pushing forward. All you need is a good friend in your life to have your back when you need it most.
Honestly, I think it was meant to be that we're here with Gemma tonight. One thing we want to know, Louis, where's the 5 mil? Because the boys didn't get it.
What?
It's so
like the
brilliant
idea of Jedward and Gemma Collins having a roast dinner of a Tuesday night, watching Big Brother and getting into a hot tub and then calling out Louis Walsh is iconic.
No, but also, sorry, Gemma Collins saying, her line of defence being, Louis, if they were vile, they wouldn't be in my hot tub. So fair, Gemma, you're selective. I appreciate that.
Now, I've watched small bits of Celebrity Big Brother. I watched the entire season of normal Big Brother before Christmas. I've only watched bits of this one.
Are you watching the sort of little clips that they deliberately put out on social media to go viral?
No, I watched a few of the 9 p.m. shows on Virgin. And what I will say is Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne are a hilarious duo. Like, they're just dropping names and just saying they're an arsehole, or they're great.
And apparently 80% of it has to be cut out for legal reasons.
I'd believe so. Like, they're just two people. Like, they're really old school celebrities in that they've done it, they've been there, they know they're untouchable, and they don't care. And they're just saying whatever comes to mind about whoever comes up. Like, they launched an attack into Simon Cowell, who probably doesn't need defending, but they still did it. And then another night, Louis Walsh saying, I made an incredible amount of money out of Simon Cowell. So, like, why are you giving out about him out of one side of the mouth and then saying, oh, I made so much money from him out of the other side? And he said the same thing about Jedward. He said he made them £5 million.
Well, what was really interesting was their response then on social media. They kind of shed a bit of insight as to what he was like as a manager, kind of saying, like, it all sounded a bit seedy, to be honest, saying that he was trying to get them into contracts that they wanted no part of, and then loads of other people who were managed by Louis Walsh were in the comments saying, oh yeah, it was a horrible experience working with them. So I fear maybe he actually might have taken aim at the wrong people here. Obviously this will die down, and Louis Walsh probably doesn't need many more people to be working with him again. But didn't he just announce a new boy band a couple of weeks ago?
Probably. He's announcing boy bands the whole time. But like, there was one moment the other night when Sharon Osbourne was asked to replace a nominated housemate with somebody else. And Louis was one of the nominated people. She didn't give him immunity and she gave somebody else immunity. And afterwards, he justified it to himself by saying to her, it was probably too obvious to do that.
She's gone from it though, hasn't she?
She is.
She's going from
and
it.
Yeah, she was only ever going to be in it for like a week or a couple of days. She was put in as a lodger, not as a proper housemate. Reportedly, she got £500,000 to do that, to go into
the house. And presumably Louis is getting something similar.
Oh, I'd say he's getting a nice little packet. I doubt he's doing it for free. But Sharon Osbourne got her own room and everything. Like, she got a sweet deal, whoever her agent is.
Maybe it was Louis. Oh, Ben Finnegan and Sarah McGuinness are with us for the week trending, and I suspect they must have a lot of John Gibbons types in the French lower house of parliament, because they've introduced a string of measures to make low-cost fast fashion, especially items from Chinese mass producers, less attractive to buyers. Presumably, is that, Sarah, by adding taxes to make them more expensive?
Yes, so they are proposing a surcharge linked to the company's ecological footprint of €5 or about £4.20. It's France, so they don't really need £4.20 from next year, and that's going to rise by €10 by 2030. The problem is a lot of these fast fashion products, particularly from big Chinese companies, which they are trying to clamp down on, are really cheap in price. Like, you could log on to Shein and get like a bikini for like less than €5, and the charge cannot exceed 50% of the
cost
item's price
of post and packaging that?
Oh, barely anything. Like, it's all so minimal. Like, it's insane.
How can people justify, particularly if they're supposed to be environmentally conscious, as we believe most younger people are of your generation, regularly buying stuff like that from Shein and from elsewhere, and having 2 to 3 deliveries a week or a month coming into the house of these cheap things and then worn once or twice and then replaced by something else?
Greed, really, is probably the, and nobody wants to admit it, but it absolutely is this mass consumerist greed. And it's absolutely awful. Like, it's so embarrassing. I do think when we're talking about fast fashion, there needs to be an awareness of sustainable clothing is extremely expensive. And in a cost of living crisis, you know, sometimes you have no other choice but to turn to places like Penny's, for example, or Tesco. But I don't think there is any excuse to be going on Shein and ordering like 20 quid on Shein. Not even 20 quid, 50 quid on Shein can get you an extortionate amount of clothes. We saw it all the way through the pandemic. People are now making money. They launch careers by what I got in my Shein haul. Other people are looking at it. It's insane. The fashion trend cycle is moving so quickly. Things that were bought and in vogue 6 months ago now look dated. And I love a charity shop. I love browsing through a charity shop. And it's so miserable seeing something that was viral on TikTok 6 months ago on the rails now, because, but at least that person decided to re-donate it as opposed to just throwing it into landfill.
I have a serious problem with the characterization of fast fashion. Like, this blanket painting of all the, if you shop in Penny's, if you shop in H&M, if you shop in Zara, you're engaging in fast fashion. No, you're not. Fast fashion is what you make of it. And for the French government to go around and start putting extra charges on this and stuff like this, if something like this happens in Ireland, it would be absolutely disgusting. Because if you look at Penny's, it is what you make of it. If you want to go in and buy a t-shirt and wear it once and throw it out, you're going to do that anyway, even if they put an extra fiver on it. What I'm looking at it from is a cost of living issue. There's parents trying to dress their children and do it reasonably without having to go out and buy 80 euro runners or a 50 euro t-shirt. They should be able to go into Penny's or an equivalent shop and buy clothes for cheap, take care of them and make sure that they actually get the use out of them. Like, I get t-shirts from Penny's, they'd last me a year. That's not fast fashion. But because I shop in Penny's, I would be labelled as engaging in fast fashion.
But would you not worry, though, about things like the carbon footprint of that shirt as well, that t-shirt, because the amount of water that would be used to make you your t-shirt, and also about the working conditions that often happen. Now, I know Penny's say that they go to extremes to make sure that it's not slave shop purchases that they make. So, you know, let's give them credit for that. But would you not be concerned still that it is cheap labour and excessive water being used to make your cheap clothing?
Yeah, I do have those concerns, but I still need to dress myself on an everyday basis. I think I'm being, like, I'm cheap labour. Do you know, like, cheap labour is what you make of it. A lot of these people are living in countries where the cost of living is way lower than here. And yes, it still is cheap. But we still have to dress
But also, ourselves. Ben, that's your experience of fast fashion and that's your viewpoint on fast fashion. As someone who's, like, not that much younger than you and, like, in a pretty similar sphere, I would argue that, you know, you can take that lens. And I do think that that approach should be taken, that this is, like, people can't afford to be buying a 50 euro t-shirt. It's absolutely insane. But there also does need to be a way of making people stop and thinking about what they're doing, because they're not doing it at the minute.
Okay, here's an idea. Target the individual people. You're allowed to buy 3 t-shirts a month. How about that? Instead of putting extra surcharges on it.
Who needs 3 t-shirts a month?
Limit the amount of clothes you're allowed to buy.
I don't think that's
engage in something like that instead of putting a surcharge on every single
thing. Okay,
we're
getting loads of comments from listeners on this. One says a lot of BT's clothes come from China as well. Another one says, I find these viral clothes hauls so vulgar. Can't understand how people are still making these with all the info that is out there about fast fashion. Another one says, regarding fast fashion, sure doesn't Nike make its products in sweatshops and they're not cheap. That is absolutely true. One says, you've been outdone here, Ben. A Penny's t-shirt can last a lot longer than a year. I have some that are a decade old.
Definitely. Okay. It's why, if you take care of them.
Are you going to pretend that men and women have the same shopping habits? If women shop for clothes as men, the problem would probably solve itself. Instead, they're disgusted by the idea of wearing the same dress twice. Is that true, Sarah?
Not in my case. I think everyone has seen this jumper numerous times that I've worn.
There are also men who refuse to wear the same thing twice.
Are there?
Of course there are.
Okay. I just finished up working with three girls who would throw away clothes after one wear, literally into the bin, not even into a charity shop bag. They lived on Shein. One girl bought a Stanley Cup, dropped it, scuffed it and bought another. Pure influenced greed. Everything has to be on trend. That's from Noelle in Cork. Okay. Why is it that consumers that always have to bear the responsibility for climate change? How about greater taxes on the large corporations that get endless tax breaks?
Dead right.
Let's move on, and we haven't much time left. South by Southwest, the festival, which the Irish Acts have decided not to engage in, but Minister Catherine Martin did appear at.
Yes, yeah, so 12 Irish acts across Northern and the Republic of Ireland decided not to go over to this festival. They include Kneecap, Soda Blonde, very successful artists, but let's face it, they're not selling out Wembley, you know, like they're taking the gigs that they can get. Don't get me wrong, I really enjoy all those artists, but like, it's not like we're talking about a Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah, it's not
we're
you talking two about, pulling out.
Yeah, like we're talking about people who probably this would have been a great gig for them, a great boost for them. And they pulled out on the grounds of the festival's ties to the US military, which in the context of the Israel-Gaza conflict. And then Catherine Martin kind of said, completely respect that they're doing that, but I'm going to go over. And not only is she going over, the Department of Foreign Affairs have organised this House of Ireland or Ireland House or something like that, which is bringing over six semi-state agencies, including Fáilte Ireland, Bord Bia, Fiche Éireann, Music for Ireland, a load of them, the IDA and Enterprise Ireland. They're all flying them over for this week-long festival, which, you know, is to platform arts and culture and tech and all these various things. They're also bringing over 19 Irish companies. Catherine Martin has said, I'm not going over because I want to speak to the people of America and spread Ireland's stance on Israel. When we have Leo in Washington, Heather Humphreys is in the States, Helen McEntee is in New York. And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous that these artists are taking a pay cut to make a stance. Like, diplomacy has gotten us nowhere in this conflict.
And one of the seminars at South by Southwest is the deployment of drones, both military and civilian.
Thank you very much, Ben Finnegan, who will be back to give us the 6 o'clock headlines in just a little while, and Sarah McGuinness, assistant news editor of the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.